This is London Calling, Raising and Folding. Welcome to the Poker Diagram Live Poker Podcast. Thank you very much, thank you very much. I'm your host, Henry Phillips, and with me, as ever, is our poker player and my co-host, Zog. Zog, say hello.
Hello, everybody.
It's good to be back with you. We are doing something different this week. We are not going to mess around with any kind of long and boring intros. We're getting straight into the action, because instead of playing a tournament this week, Zog, you're right in there, you're already signed up, and we're playing a cash game.
Yep, I'm already sitting down at Great Falls for a bit of No Limit Cash Texas Hold'em. We're on a fairly low stakes table. It's $1 blinds with a $100 maximum buy-in. That's today's game.
And you've bought in for $50.
Yep.
Now we're going to do one of two things. We are going to play until you've lost all your money,
or doubled it,
or we just think we've been going long enough and we've run out of other stuff to talk about. But we'll see. We're also, and you're just waiting to join the game now, Zog. Are you in?
That's right. I've signed up, sat down, and I've checked the wait for big blind to come round option. The blind's just high enough that I kind of care about, throwing in a blind out of turn and not getting best value out of it.
Of course. So it gives us a chance to kind of introduce the show, say hello, and
explain what we're doing.
Yeah, we hope you're having a good time, wherever you are and whatever you're doing while you're listening to this podcast.
Absolutely, absolutely. But just for the next half hour or so, you're going to be joining us in our little poker world, and let's hope you bring us some luck.
Yeah, we're trying to. We've played a lot of tournaments in these podcasts, Zog, and we thought we'd do something a bit different today.
So, yeah, well, that's right. I mean, we both mix it up online a bit. We both play cash and tournament games online when we're not podcasting. So we thought it'd be good to reflect that in the show. So it's a cash game today.
So Zog, I've seen you playing lots of tournaments. I haven't had the opportunity before to see you playing in cash games.
Yeah.
What I want to know is, how are you going to play this? What are you up to today?
Well, with a cash game, players come and go a lot more. You can't follow the players quite as much. You can't, I think, rely on getting a handle on how people play quite as much. You've got to concentrate that little bit more on your own play and your own cards. But my rule of thumb here is that I'm looking for good starting cards, by which I mean pairs, and not just any pairs, pairs 7 or above, 2 cards above a 10, high suited connectors, anything else I would need position to play, I think.
Well, I think, the marginal end of some of the hands you've been talking about, you might want to have position to play some of those as well.
No, that's true.
Okay, you're in. You're all.
This
you're
is my
away.
First hand. Oh, my dream cards. 4-9 off suit, but I'm on the big blind, it's unraised, and I'm just checking. I'm not.
Nothing's happening for you there. So the other thing that we're doing, Zog, or we're trying to do at the moment, is check out some other software.
Some particular software that was recommended to us.
Yeah, it was. We got a link on poker-mac.com. Phil turned us on to this. It's Mac Poker Pro.
Yeah, which so far, and this is early days, but so far, I like the look of it. So I'm just concentrating on the game for a second. There's a $4 bet into me on the on the turn, and I'm folding out of this. I haven't caught anything.
What I'm going to do is, I'm just going to make sure that we've got our session going here. Although I'm going to duck out of that now, because in the small blind you've been dealt a pair of cowboys.
Yeah,
and those are pretty nice cards. So what do you do if you've been? It's a no limit game. There's the big blind is $1. You've got one caller for $1.
Yeah.
Now, what sort of level of raise do you think you need to go for here?
Well, I think I need to raise at least the pot. The pot is $250 now. I'm going to raise
$3.
$3, which would be $3.50, in fact, because of my 50.
Well, you're a new player at this table. They may think, oh, who's this wild child here? And there's a guy sitting next to you who's got a lot of money. He's called, it's come 783 Rainbow.
Yep.
And it's pushing time, isn't it?
It is. Well, I'm going to bet, I think, I'm going to bet around double the pot now, $15, which is...
Well, you've got great cards.
It's not, I mean, the guy that I'm betting into, KJ28, has got... sitting on a stack of $255. Now that suggests that they've either been pretty lucky today, or they're a strong, good player, because they can't have brought more than $100 to this table. That's the maximum buy-in. If they've got $255, they've been winning.
They must be doing something right. Now you can't do that and sustain that just on luck.
No.
Can you?
So, and this time around on the button, I've Jack-4, which I'm folding.
Okay. Well, we don't need to worry too much about the hands you're not playing. Today's up, because it's a cash game. There are inevitably going to be hands that you don't play. And now that you have been dealt rotten cards, I'm going to look at.
I'm going to get back onto our Mac Poker Pro.
And I think what I
session,
need,
which,
what
which
I need to do,
trialing,
I'm a little bit of a newcomer at this. But what I think I need to do is enter in a hand number here.
Okay, Henry is just reaching over and. Copying down the hand number that is in front of us on the Poker Room window, typing it into the Mac Poker Pro window.
And what that should do from now on, it will pick up... That was the previous hand, so it will pick up your... it will eventually pick up your kings, and it will tell you... it will start building a statistical picture of your play today. Now, I have to say... I've been trying this out.
Yeah.
And it's... I have not... Because we don't have PCs, I have not tried out Poker Tracker, which I know is the kind of the brand leader for tracking hands and gathering statistics and what have you. And but this, I have to say, some of the interface, well, I was a little bit unfamiliar with it at first, was a little bit confusing, but I quickly got the hang of it. And it gives you very, very good information. It basically captures the hand history. It captures the hand history from
the Poker Room database of its own things, and kind of works out what kind of a player you are.
Okay, but we're having a little bit of trouble getting it going here. Which is okay. But I'm not going to interrupt Zog.
But more
again,
importantly,
because he's been
I've
dealt
got some decent cards. Here.
You've got some reasonable cards, and Zog's been dealt King Jack suited. He's in quite late position, mid to late position, I would say.
Yeah, mid to late.
And you've got some early callers.
Yeah, well, it's worth a small, it's worth a bit of a raise here.
I think it is. So Zog's raising a couple of
bucks. I don't
want to
leave it unraised, but...
And you've got one caller, Michael J. Fox.
Who's just joined the table. It was always nice to have a big star, or a star of moderate stature at the table.
Yes.
Sorry, Michael, love...
Have you
seen The Hard Way? That's the one with James Woods.
Okay, that's a rotten, it's a rotten flop.
Movie.
I hope it's
it
rotten.
Is a terrible movie.
There are three other players in. It's come 294. There are no hearts out there, and Michael's betting into you a couple of dollars, and we've got one other player, Turnburners, thinking about it. What do you think here, Zog? Are you folding out?
I'm not going to look at another card. There are no hearts out there.
Over cards?
His possible starting cards... I've got my own, but his possible starting cards would include too many things that...
A couple of diamonds,
you know,
there could be an
ace there, a couple of... Exactly.
That was the fear, that you would have been matched on one of those over cards and the nine was the kicker. This time, Zog, you've been dealt... King Queen suited, so more good cards.
And I'm going to raise again.
Worth a little nudge, I think.
Yeah.
As soon as you get some rotten cards, I'm going to try and get this stats thing going.
Yeah, get this tied up to our table.
Again.
Yeah.
And we'll see how we go. Yeah. So let's have a chat about this hand that's going on now. You've got a call again from Michael J. Fox. Inna Damani is called.
Yeah.
And we'll see what the other players think of it. But Queen King suited pre-flop. They're very nice cards. There's nothing wrong with that. We've got a little bit of a delay. We've got one of the players is disconnected. But you've already got two callers, and we will see whether. There's three players left to speak, including Aces 14, who's who's been disconnected, and as the thing on Poker Room is that you get a second chance. If you've been disconnected, you get 30 seconds to come back to life, and it's not happening for him so far.
Maybe they really are disconnected.
And we've got another one folder and another caller, and the flop has come. It's come with two queens. There are two clubs out there, so I think you need to put a little bit of money.
Because I don't want to have it having raised before. If I check on that, frankly, I think it's going to look a bit too much like I'm.
Oh, you've got a caller from Michael J. Fox. So Zog is sitting on trip queens. You've had a raise from In Da Money, who I think must be on a flush draw, and I think you've got a raise back, baby.
I do, yeah. Well, I mean, there's just in the back of my mind, there's a little thing saying maybe he's got queen with an ace, but I don't think so. I'm prepared to lose a fair bit of money betting.
If that happens, you better move fairly fast. And Zog's raise back in Michael J. Fox has now thought better of it and folded out into money. Well, there's a danger he's going to come back over the top at you, but he's folded out as well, and Zog is mucking his cards, and that's a. So what do you pick up there? $31. Okay, you know, you'd raise to 17.
I'd put 15.
More than half of that was yours. But
about half of it was mine. That's a fairly comfortable start to the game.
Yeah, good cards. Now,
just calling this time around with a suited king. Not a great kicker, but it is suited. So,
king four of diamonds. Zog's playing with. Play with now. We'll keep an eye on the time because we don't want to. The thing with the cash game is you can just play indefinitely, you know, forever and ever. That's the beauty of it. Isn't it?
Occasionally you stop to eat.
Maybe have
another large latte in my case.
But I've done this. You look out the window and you think, is that sun setting or rising?
Yeah. Is it time to go to work now? I don't know. But we're going to put a tie. I think we're probably going to play for about half an hour today.
We'll see how we go. So I would say if you get to $100, if you double through, you know, would be a time to say that's a good job. That's a good afternoon's work.
Yeah.
And time to leave it alone. To give you an update. It's only Zog's money we'll be updating you on today. To give you an update, he's currently on $62.75, so you're $12.75 ahead of the initial stack that you had of $50. So, so that's quite good. Everybody's checked here, Zog. Now you've got a straight draw and a flush draw. It's come 9-8 queen was the flop, two hearts and one diamond.
I should say that
everybody's checked, and a jack of diamonds has come on the turn.
Well, the jack of diamonds is what made all the difference there. With all those possibilities, I'm going to bet the pot, or rather slightly more than the pot, $5.
And although anybody with a 10, of course, already has a straight, so there may be a slow player, slow playing it out there, and one player's already folded. But if a 10 comes, you will have a better straight, and if a diamond comes, you will have a flush, which is nice. So you've got a caller from Banks, who may also be on a draw, and we'll see what happens. Because of course, if we don't hit a card here, Zog, you don't actually have any kind of hand at all.
No, I don't.
So it's all about this next card, which is a 4. So
something.
Now he's checking.
I'm going to check this.
Check back to him because he could have great cards. But you've got a pair of foot. You've got bottom pair.
I think he's
probably
on a draw. Yeah.
And he had the straight, maybe, and he was trying to slow play it and tempt you into betting by checking into you at the end there.
Yeah, well,
he knew you hadn't hit the flush.
I'm not going to fall for a second man like that.
And well, you've
not that time.
Some
anyway.
Some cash has gone away from you, but you've
I lost, as you say. You know, lost a little bit of cash there, but I limited my losses. I could, could lose a lot more against a straight.
Maybe it was a kind of starting hand selection thing because King 4 suited. Probably not the kind of cards when you were talking about your starting cards earlier on that you were talking about playing. But you just had some success, and I think maybe.
You're right. It was. Although I think. No, I was possibly a little bit too tempted by the suitedness of that particular.
I think so. That would be my feeling about it. But you had good possibilities after the after the turn.
Absolutely.
And it was worth a bit of a go. Just having a little, so I'm just a little bit distracted now because I'm just trying to get this Mac Poker Pro up and running. Nothing to do with Mac Poker Pro at all, I don't think.
No, I think it's to do with. I think this is just to do with settings. I think it may have inherited settings relating to your account. That is my guess.
Okay, we'll have another go at that because you're gonna fold out of this one, I guess.
With absolutely.
3-5 off suit, and I am.
Yeah, just get back to that other window.
That's definitely the right hand number there, and I'm gonna maybe. Let's start monitoring a new session of Hold'em. Paste that in there. Have I got your nickname right? That's the only other thing that...
Is it case sensitive? You've got it right, but you haven't. But if it's case sensitive, you haven't, because it's a capital B at the start.
That might be a crucial element.
Let's just see if it picks up this time around.
It does say player has left the table, so...
Okay.
So let's... This is good stuff. This. So you're actually
we're making these mistakes for you, so that you will not be making these kind of elementary mistakes when you're trying Mac Poker Pro. Let's just quickly get back to the poker room window for a second.
You should do that pretty quickly.
I think I'm on the big blind at the moment.
Okay. Well,
last time I checked.
Sorry about this, Zug. And you are on the big blind, and you've been dealt some rotten suited cards. But if it's unraised, you might want to just. Check that and see if you hit a flush.
Exactly.
Jack 3.
Or a jack.
So it comes 5, 7, 10.
Not really too exciting.
Yeah, and, you know, I just don't see there's any way, any cards you could even hope for here.
Well, two jacks maybe, but... okay, let me just see. There's a bit of a bet into me, and no, I'm going to fold that.
Okay, now let's have a go. At this one, and this looks a bit more likely. Let's go to the new session. Now I'm hoping it'll pick up the earlier play
as well. Yeah,
and we'll see how that goes. This is because I have to say this is great software.
I should just briefly say this is software that you install and run on your Mac, and there are similar. Windows programs. You install and run on your Mac, and you give it your account details as you deal with. Can I just quickly getting back to the game in progress?
It's been a raise, Zog. So you're on the small blind, and it's been raised
to 250.
So it's 250 for you to call.
Yeah, no, I don't really like that.
I think that's probably a wise move. And we can see now that.
Just briefly put it.
We have actually got it going.
You run the software on your Mac. And it, you give it various of your account details for the site you're playing on. It's compatible with various sites, including Poker Room, which we're on now. And it will look at the play, analyse the hands, and tell you how you're playing and how the other players are playing.
And it's very the one of the things that I really liked about it. And I'll take you back to the table now because you've got to play some cards. The analysis is not.
Folding this.
You've got fold checked at the moment, so
I have indeed.
So it goes through. It will tell you over time, you know, what percentage of times you've won with certain hands, and but it will tell you, you know, how often you've been betting and how many hands you've got. The thing that I really liked about it, however, is that it takes three factors: how many hands you choose to play. How often you raise pre-flop, and the ratio of your raising or betting to just calling post-flop to give you three factors. So whether you're tight or loose, whether you're aggressive pre-flop, and whether you're aggressive post-flop.
Yeah.
And on the basis of those potential combinations, it gives you a series of player types that you are. Now, when I was playing this before and testing out the software... My first session, I was just playing my normal game, and it turns out that I was a monkey.
We've been telling you that for years.
I know.
You don't listen to us.
And on that basis, well, I'll come back to that because Zog's involved in this hand now. He's been dealt ace 10 and the flop has come king, queen, 8.
Yeah, there are four other players involved in the hand. It's check round to me, and I want to draw, but I'm gonna put in a kind of a drawing kind of bet. I'm gonna bet $3 into this. Just to push anybody else who's drawing.
You want to push out one or two other players. Indomani has already called you, and the other two players have folded. An eight has come on the turn. He's checking to you. I think
check
is probably wise. Yeah. And another club has come, and so he's put a decent bet into you. You really don't actually have anything.
No, well, I figured that he would that anyone who was calling me there would probably have some kind of pair, maybe an eight, maybe queen, probably
whatever,
not the king.
Whatever he's
but whatever got. It is, it's beating me. I haven't hit my jack, so I'm going to fold.
Yeah, I mean, the only way back there was to come way, way over the top. That was the only way.
Yeah, and Indomani's got a bigger stack.
Not really worth it. Okay, this time round, actually, before we go back to talking about Mac Poker Pro, you've been dealt some suited connectors, or 8, 9.
I have.
And the betting is not getting too heavy. What do you think? You're going to have a little bit of a go with this one, or are you going to be?
I think this last bit, I'm going to have a bit of a go. I'm going to call. I'd like to be ideally one or two spots later, but that's okay. And that's not a bad flop.
Not bad. There's come 2, 3, 3, and two of them are clubs. So you've got a flush draw. There are four other players in. A lot of them have checked, and you're going to bet into your draw, presumably.
I'm just
not a very exciting
betting
flop
a couple
for
of
people.
Dollars into it.
So Zog's showing a bit of aggression after the flop, as measured by Poker Pro. That's considered to be an aggressive move. First to bet.
If you take the initiative after the flop,
or raising, calling is seen as passive. Yeah. Betting or raising is seen as aggressive. And three players are folded out already, and it's just
Razmog
thinking about whether he's going to call, and he's folded. So that aggression has paid off there. That's quite nice. Now, I'm guessing that you're going to be folding those cards.
Yeah, I'm just clicking my little fold button there, and yes. Anyway, you were saying
the characteristic of the monkey is that he is loose, so playing too many hands.
Yep.
Aggressive, so raising pre-flop, raising, and probably if you're playing too many hands, probably raising on too many hands.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then passive, so being a bit optimistic.
Passive after the flop.
Passive, yeah. So aggressive pre-flop. Passive after the flop.
Okay.
So it's this thing where you play too many hands, you get too excited about how good they are, and then you're very weak. You start to think, oh God, what is it? What have they got? And so, so this sort of ready to be gung ho pre-flop, and then after you haven't hit, looking a bit pathetic and folding out or just limping in.
Yeah.
And I thought, I am not going to have this piece of software.
You thought.
Calling me a monkey.
You're not going to have a computer calling you a monkey. I can understand that.
All right, I'm going to stop again. We'll come back in because Zog's been dealt ace 3 suited. And I think you just limped in there, didn't you? And the flop has come 6-6-5.
Yeah, I just
flat
call. I didn't...
Yeah, no, that was for that. I think that's fair enough. And
you've now been dealt
a diamond has come, and I think you have to raise.
Well, I'm just wondering if I should actually just call this.
No, I
want to extract money on both rounds, so I'm going to raise this time and then raise next time.
You don't want him drawing to a full house. He stayed anyhow. Another diamond has come. Now you've got to put in a lot of money and see.
Well, I'm going to put him all in and hope that he sees it.
And
Zook's
got the nut flush.
There could be a
full house out there because there's a pair on the board, but. It didn't happen, and Zog, that's very nice. It's you didn't need the three kicker in the end. It was comforting, but because four diamonds came up in the middle, including the king. So that's
well. I think actually there was some kind of straight flush possibility in there. Probably
there was indeed. Yeah, there was indeed. But
and actually, I don't know what other sites are like. But if you hit a straight flush on Poker Room in a cash game, you get a bonus of 100 times the big blind.
That's very nice. Is that for a straight flush or is it just for a royal flush?
I don't know, because the only time I got a straight flush, it was a royal flush.
I have a suspicion, we'd have to look it up, I have a suspicion it may just be for a royal flush, because otherwise they'd be paying out quite, you know, I know there's a, you know, I know it's pretty rare, but there's a lot of hands going on, baby, and, you know, straight flush comes.
No, but even, but you know, but the, but it's still so rare that, you know, 100 times the big blind, it's, they're not.
It's a nice reward.
Yeah, I don't
okay,
know
this time,
too much,
king nine, but suited.
King nine, but suited, yeah. Terrible position. I'm going to fold because it's a lousy position, and I think after the last few hands, I'm a bit more likely in that spot to have people just a bit more inclined to kind of to re-raise or to, you know, to get
push
involved,
you, push around.
Yeah, to want to push back. So I want to stay out with those cards.
Okay, now the other thing that Mac Poker Pro does is that it will analyse not only your play, but the other players at your table. So we can have a quick peek now at Great Falls, and we can see the sort of the average, where the players are rocks or calling stations. And I hate to tell you this, Doug, but as of the current sort of set of things,
let me interrupt to get back and play a hand, because, it's just a... So all I'm doing is folding. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, continue with your thought.
It takes a little time to catch up. It's, you know, it's a couple of hands behind. But as of now, Zug, you're a monkey.
I am a monkey. There's no arguing with Mac Poker Pro. It's saying I'm a monkey.
And there are other things on here. Monkey's a calling station. Mm. And if we can click on any of these players, and it tells you what a
calling... In Monster is a dragon?
You know... A calling station, semi-loose, so not playing all the hand, not like a fish. Mm. Passive pre-flop and passive after the flop.
Yeah.
And we've got, but we do have a gator.
Oh, that's a gator. I thought that might be.
I think that's a gator.
What's a gator?
And he's, which is tight, then aggressive pre-flop, and then passive after the flop.
Yeah.
And your absolutely ideal player is tight. Certainly tight. And then aggressive pre-flop, so play hard with premium hands, and then neither aggressive nor passive post-flop. The ideal thing is to be neutral. In other words, that you're just playing the situation.
Mm.
So it's quite difficult to work out how the software does that, because you could be making these calls and non-calls on... it's only counting what you've called, you know, so...
There's also a danger in... you have to consider... on what basis is the software making its assessments about
how tight you are and how aggressive you are?
Yes, exactly. Well, and essentially, the prejudices, well, prejudice may be the wrong word, but the ideas of whoever is writing the software are going to have determine how that software is judging your play.
Sure.
But what having said that, you know, all information like this, you know, is good. You know, is good. Is good. You know, this is going to tell you more about your game. It's going to give you more feedback and a more objective idea about how you play. Because I think it's very easy to get an idea about how you play, but to get an objective idea is, you know, rather than one that's kind of coloured by your own. I think that was a good call when actually it wasn't.
Absolutely. Hard. Well, the thing that what it's doing, I mean, when it's telling you these things, it does actually give you the absolute criteria that it uses to judge that. So I think, for example, a tight player is one who plays fewer than 24% of starting hands.
Well, which is fair enough. You know, I mean, a good rule of thumb is probably 20% of hands are probably worth playing.
And then they, I think, between 24 and about 35 or 36, they have what this thing between tight and loose that they call semi loose.
Yeah.
And then above that is considered to be loose.
Mm, mm.
Aggression factor pre flop is if you're raising. On more than about 7 or 8% of hands pre-flop, then you're seen as an aggressive player pre-flop. And I can't remember exactly what the numbers are, but the aggression factor post-flop is based on the ratio of bets to calls or raises to calls.
Right.
So I have to say, it completely changed my game. because I don't play a lot of cash games online, but I played it, and this bloody thing was telling me I was a monkey. I'm determined not to be a monkey.
If you're listening to it, of course it's going to change your game, would be my, you know, my instant reaction to that. You know, if you're letting it give you any kind of, you know, advice about how to play the game, of course it's going
to
change.
Well, if you pay attention to the feedback, because it's not saying to you, it's not coming up with pop-up saying you should call this or you should fold this, or it's not giving you any kind of direct advice at all.
No. But if it's saying, you know, but if it's saying you're a monkey, you're too loose, you know, you're going to play. That's going to change your game.
It did. Oh, we've got an all-in bet. It's only $9, but it's somebody getting very excited, and I think with Queen Jack off, so probably when it comes around to you, you'll leave that alone.
I will. I was going to say, I mean, this was when I was dealt those cards before the all-in happened. I was thinking, yeah, this is. I've been fold for the last few hands, and I was thinking this is one I want to play, but I don't want to see that that $10 bet, particularly when somebody else has called it, albeit for less than $10. Yeah, they had $3 left.
Crodge has gone all in as well, so. So
I figure. I mean, the thing is, you know, even if Acura L94 was, you know, was on a bit of a bluff, you know, Crodge would have to have something to call that. And sure enough,
Crodge had a king versus a pair of nines.
Yeah, a pair of nines for Crodge. That's a pair of nines down.
Yeah, and nine came on the board as well, giving him trip nine. So quite nice.
So you're saying that this. It was, you know, well, you were after you realised you were a monkey.
I stopped playing. I was playing on a very low limit, and I'd lost about 10 or 11 bucks just playing my normal game, and had a look at, you know, you can look at it while you're playing, but I thought, well, I'll stop, I'll take stock, and let's have a look at the underlying. How many hands am I seeing? How many hands am I voluntarily putting money in the pot?
Yeah.
What sort of percentage of turn cards am I seeing? All of this sort of stuff, and where am I losing my money, and what's happening with me, and how many kind of fewer hands do I need to be involved with in order just simply not to be a monkey anymore?
Yeah.
So I adjusted my strategy, and I was watching the stats quite closely. My second session, I turned it around. I won, I think, $22.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in that, I was characterised. I haven't reached the ideal. I haven't reached nirvana yet, but I was characterised as a bull, which sounds a bit better than a monkey.
It does.
Which is tight preflop and aggressive preflop, but also aggressive postflop. So right. In order to get to be the nirvana status of an eagle, I would need to be slightly less aggressive postflop. Apparently,
right. Okay.
But
okay.
I think I'm happy with bull. Bull sounds good to me.
No. Bull does sound good, but
sounds a hell of a lot better than monkey. But as you see, now you're not involved in this hand. You have been, because you've been playing pretty tight, and your numbers have gone down. You've changed.
I'm now a pig.
You're now a pig. So you're now semi loose, aggressive, passive. So
right.
And I'm. Let's see if we
semi loose aggressive passive. That sounds sort of hard to make head or tail of at the moment. What are you trying to do?
Don't know what I've done here, but you need to get back to the table.
I certainly do. Okay, here we go. I do not want to call
those. Those are phantom cards.
I'm familiar with the phantom card phenomenon. Yeah, now, one note of caution that I was going to sound about these kind of tracking programs is just the simple statistical point about, you know, how large or small a sample of hands you are playing. In order for the analysis of how you're playing to be most valid, it has to be really looking at the long term. You can't look at 10 or 20 hands and draw any kind of meaningful conclusion, because if in those 10 or 20 hands, you know, all you've been getting is 2-6 off, you know.
Sure. I wonder how many hands you have to have before it begins to be statistically significant.
Well, that's a good question. Maybe a statistician could tell us.
Because I think once you get to about 20 hands, unless you've had a really quite an extraordinary run, I think you're going to get a reasonably good sample, which is not actually 20 hands is not very many, is it? Okay, so it might be.
But sitting down at a ten-player table,
you know, five rounds of betting, that's 50 hands. Now I think once you've had five rounds, you're beginning to get something that could at least tell you. Can you give you some kind of indication?
My guess is I think you would need more. You would need around 100 hands, I think, for it to be more valid.
I'm guessing that you're saying that in particular because you didn't like being called a monkey after five hands,
and then a pig after 15.
Well, that's
No. I was not influenced. That has nothing to do with it. This is purely based on a. Very solid
understanding of
statistics. Yeah, I think.
Well, no, I think that's right. The lovely thing about this software, though, is that if you download it from Mac Poker Pro, it will give you 1,000 hands for nothing. So the free version allows you to have 1,000 hands. And I guess with 1,000 hands, you can draw some pretty good conclusions.
I'm sure you can.
You're beginning to get close with that. And I think the price of the software is something like $40. And, you know, I don't play a lot of cash games. I'm going to play more now that I've got this software and I can understand my own play a little bit better. Mm. And I'm certainly going to be shelling out the $40, I think, to have it on my laptop permanently.
Well, it's interesting to see, you know, maybe after you've been using it for a couple of weeks, see if you think it's still helping your game.
But I think on
this first introduction to it, you know, just flicking back and forth between the Poker Room window and Mac Poker Pro, I think I'll be sticking with it myself. Okay, and I'm folding on the big blind.
You've got to be very patient in suited cards, in cash games.
Not that great.
When you do get cards that are worth playing, and. I don't know about you, so I'd say that a pair of fives is worth a bit of a go at.
It's worth a bit of a go. I think I said before I was going to place a pair of sevens was sort of my rule of thumb.
But you're on the small blind.
I'm on the small blind.
It's a $3 bet. There's already $6.50 in the pot.
It is. However, I am actually going to fold these because
you want to stick to some kind of principle.
I would actually need to be seeing a five there.
Of course, yeah, it's a drawing hand.
Yeah, and I don't want to put in, you know, five times my small blind.
And the guy who raised it in that case actually folded out to the bet from the other player who did call the bet in the first place.
Mm.
Yeah, what you're seeing down here though, Zorg, we'll try and put some screen grabs on the podcast. If you're listening to the enhanced version, we'll have a look at MacBook Pro. But it does pick up, not from all of their play, but from any hands that are involved with you, it picks up the stats of the other players there. Now, I believe...
Well, should we just look at what it says about the other players here?
Okay, well, we can just go down... There's the list here. Now you need to find, I don't know...
Let's find Inder Money.
Well, there we go. There's an alphabetical list there. And actually, they're not on there. So, but if you go to the other window.
Sorry, folks, if this isn't making all that much sense to you.
So you can select the current players here.
Here we go. Inder Money is a fish.
Apparently, he's a fish. He's putting in money voluntarily in 38% of hands, which is way too high. But the number that he's raising pre-flop is absolutely tiny. It's 2 or 3%,
yeah.
and he's obviously being a bit passive after it. So if you
I'm now a gator.
You're a gator. So
you see, this is what I mean about you know you need a lot more hands to feed anything before you can draw any kind of statistics.
Well, you saw a few more hands.
You can draw conclusions, but whether you can draw conclusions that are really valid rather than just summing up a little snapshot of what you've just been doing is another.
You have moved from monkey to through pig to gator, which is good. But you've got about 30-35 hands that you've played now that are being calculated by that and. Yeah, gator, that sounds pretty good to me.
It sounds better than pig.
It does sound better than pig.
It sounds
and of
better
course,
than monkey.
What's happened is that you've got some reputation for being for pre-flop raising when you are, involved.
I think it's
aggressive.
A bit...
And you've got... But when you're not getting involved...
This is just quality showing through in the long run.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. But when you're not getting involved, of course, the only one of those that is going to change is how tight or loose you are.
Yeah.
So you've moved from loose, aggressive, passive, which is monkey, to semi-loose, aggressive, passive, which is pig,
to tight, aggressive, passive, yeah.
which is gator. Gator's good. I don't think gator is quite as good as bull. I think bull is better than gator.
You're not going to make a bit competitive about this, are you, Henry?
Yeah, I am getting it. Of course I am. Yeah. It's poker. That's why we like to play the game.
Yeah, it's true. The player that had the huge stack a while ago, I say huge, $250-odd, left the table a few hands ago. One other player dropped out as well. Mike D has come back in. Now there was a Mike D in a game we were playing a few weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, I don't think it's the same guy.
Was it the same Mike D or not? I don't know.
The other one didn't have a handbag.
No, this one didn't look like an old lady. What sometimes happens with cash games is that you get this point where two or three people leave, and then the whole table seems to kind of dry up. And there's a certain sort of turning point where you have to get out before the table sort of really dries up and just gets too horrible and unrewarding, and you never get any callers for your bets if you've got any cards.
Yes, I know what you mean.
I'm not saying it's happening now because it's just that. But when the couple of seats were absent, I wondered whether that was going to happen. You know,
one of the things, and again, of course, it's over time, and it will adjust over time. But one of the other things that this software does is to give you some stats about the table itself.
Mm.
So you know. What the average pot size is, average number of players,
yeah,
and how many players, how often there's a showdown, and this kind of thing, and there's you know, actually table selection. I know, as you say, it's a dynamic thing and it does change from time to time, but table selection is really important. If you're interested in picking hands and picking, it's not just picking hands, you can, if you're in the cash game, pick tables as well.
At whatever level I'm looking to play, I basically look for a table that's got a high average pot. That's what I look for on the table stats when I click on each one in the poker room list.
Oh, you've been raised, baby. Yeah, so Zog's getting involved with this one. He's flat called with ace nine suited, and LN Monster One has raised $5.
Is it Ellen Monster or In Monster?
There's $9 on there, and are you gonna fold out, or are you gonna what are you gonna do?
Gonna call, and I'm gonna see a flop.
Okay, now the flop is interesting because you're now drawing to the nut flush. It's come 4-2, and two of those are clubs, including, and he's raised you back. So I bet $10. And he's raised you a bit $10, and it's getting pretty heavy now. He's
You see, at this point, I'm thinking he has a king.
Well, you're betting on your draw, baby.
Betting on my draw, and I have about a
1 in 4. So you're now actually betting on your.
Well, it was about a 1 in 2 before. Now it's a 1 in 4. Which
now
is
it's a 1 in 4, but you've also got a straight draw. And he's betting you all of your money.
Yeah, no, I'm not prepared to see that.
No, you really need it, and he's showing you that he's got absolutely nothing there. That's kind of cruel.
Well, that's the privilege of the.
Well, that's a very aggressive player, and he's pushing you around, and would have been very, very hard, and there was almost nothing that he could have picked up. As it turned out, but that's very strong play.
He was either, you know, correctly figuring that the that I wouldn't see that that big bet, that was it. He just took a chance that I wouldn't call it, and I didn't. It was a good bet.
I think in the end he'd got himself involved. He tried to buy it a couple of times, and he got committed to that. Trying to buy it thing, Maybe he figured you for the draw and thought that's I've got to keep pushing. I didn't make it expensive enough first time, and that was absolutely right. I think you put him on a king, you know, and I think as it turned out, that wasn't right, but that was the only reasonable conclusion to draw from the kind of the way he was pushing.
Yeah,
and that was certainly what he was representing.
Yeah,
and
I mean, you know, now,
nonetheless, a little bit painful.
Well, yes. I mean, the betting in that hand was you know, a little bit above the normal run of betting. You know, so I've kind of sort of, you know, taken a fair hit.
I think you dropped around
about $20.
$25 in that
no,
hand because you were you're 34 now and you were up at $60, over $60. So
that really is no.
And it's you and him in again.
Well, I'm going to bet a fiver into him.
And this time he's folding out, so he's he realises perhaps that he's wound you up a bit, and he certainly didn't have the cards to call you that time, and perhaps he thought, well, I've needled him once, and I'm. You know, he's
No. I think he just didn't want to.
Well, you bet it reasonably. You know, it's a reasonable bet. It was you had the big slick, and
yeah.
The cards on the flop were not very exciting.
Okay, we had a raise from Turnburner this time. No,
I don't think
5-10 on the small blind. Not really very attractive. So.
So well, I think you know we've been going for a little while now. You are still a gator.
I'm just having a quick look down at the other. Inder Money is now an elephant
If you just click on Inder Money there, then we'll be able to see exactly what elephant means. He's loose, passive, aggressive. So what they're saying is he's playing a lot of hands. He's not raising a lot before the flop, but after the flop. He's putting in a lot of bets and raises, so which is what we saw, what we absolutely saw happening, that he was getting pretty aggressive with you post flop there, with quite a lot of money as well, and that's the thing with this sort of no limit cash games is that you are always vulnerable to that. I quite like to play the limit. I like no limit tournaments, but I quite like limit cash games because. Yeah, you're playing a decent. Even if you're playing a big enough limit.
Well, you know, if people are getting involved in a hand, then a pot limit. That pot limit can work out, you know, to be a pretty big limit in practice.
Well, not even a pot limit, just the standard limit games. You know, you've got the betting can be capped, and you can raise and re-raise. So there are enough hands of betting for the pots to get, you know, pretty. A pretty decent size, without there being this sort of blunt instrument of the big, you know, of the very big all in.
I just like playing the limit. It's maybe that's a weakness, but
I think it's horses for courses. But you've got to be, you know, I think limits are much more mathematical game where we can make the calculations about hands to play.
Well, yeah, I think you have to make finer calculations about odds in a limit game.
And there's still, but no limit is kind of the rough and tumble where the guy with absolutely nothing can, in terms of cards, but money in front of him can really still push around those other players. All right, now Zog. What I'm going to suggest is that we're quite a long way.
No, we've actually been playing for rather long with you, sir. We should have said we should have probably play for about half an hour.
And I'm going to suggest that we maybe play three more hands, see if you get some cards. You are a little bit down on your initial stacks, but you're not going to. And that was all as a result of that one hand.
Yeah, which is a little unfortunate, because if I hadn't got a little bit involved. In that, and then I would have. It's just. I don't like to walk away from the table down.
Well, there's. You know, you can carry on playing. You sit out for a few hands while we close down the podcast for today, and
I can get back into the game.
To do that, and we'll give you an update next time.
Yeah, I might well do that. So what are you doing there?
I'm just
wondering. I'm just wondering what I was going. Yeah, we're actually playing on Henry's laptop at the moment.
Not with my account.
This is just an equipment thing. The recording is going on my iMac and the game on Henry's laptop.
Okay, so you're calling now. You are getting involved. You've got King 7 suited. It's been quite cheap, and that's a beautiful, beautiful flop for you because there's a king, but there's also two clubs out there. So you've got a flush draw, two
top
players
pair
of top pair flush draw, and it's two players already bet for $2, and a third player who's your last to speak. Third player's folded out, and is this is it raising time?
It is, yeah. I've got top pair and a flush draw, so
I'm... You've been called straight away by the monster. Now you've hit your flush. So you've got a king high flush, and you also have an up and down straight draw, and you need to put some...
Well, I am. I'm going to bet... I don't want to check this and do any kind of sort of trapping bullshit.
Because he could have...
He could be drawing to an ace flush in the first place.
And if he's drawing...
All kinds of things.
Well, there's a ten has come. So there's
a slight danger card. Any pair makes a possible full house. But anyway, I'm gonna just put all my money in for this.
Okay, so there's a bit of excitement.
With our history,
he's been called,
and he does.
And he had a king, basically, kings and tens. And that's very satisfying because you put him all in. And
I took back the money that he took from me before.
The money that he took off you. And a little bit more, I think.
Exactly. That's kind of... I'm just going to...
This is the last hand of the podcast. Zog's had a big success previously, took him up to over $75. He's now getting involved in this hand with ace 5 suited, ace 5 of spades. We love to see the ace of spades. It's a very exciting card.
And with us.
But you are being raised by your nemesis or your rival around the table here. LN Monster has raised $7. But another player has called.
Now,
the fact of that other player
if
calling...
If it wasn't for... I'm going to fold out of this. I think, you know, I would... I'd really be looking for the flush to happen at that point, because I would think that with In Monster's bet and the call from Ryan, that, you know, the one's going to have a better ace, or I'm looking at a pair. And given that we're just about to close down, and
you're ahead,
quite importantly, I've got back ahead. No,
let's have a look. They are going all in on this hand. It's come 10-10-9, and it's a pair of kings against a pair of jacks. But a jack came on the board for Orion, and poor old LN Monster has been busted out. Now, Zoggy, it's time to...
It is time to fold. I was just tempted by that queen jack. There was somebody folded before me, so I'm going to fold. I'm going to sit out, and...
Okay, so in summary now...
Out of here, and
You started at the table with $50, and you ended with $73.
Yeah, well,
Which is pretty good going.
I think that's a pretty good hour's work.
You're quite happy with that?
45 minutes work, whatever it was.
And
I'm pretty happy with that. But in fact,
you do all of this, you play all of these. This is what scares me about these no limit cash games, because you played pretty well, you didn't get involved, the software was calling you a monkey, but we established that was statistically just insignificant because it was a few early hands you happened to be involved with.
Exactly.
And we'll have a look at the software in a minute when it's just picking up on the last couple of hands you played and analysing those as well. But I would say, you know, effectively your chip position at the end there came pretty much as a result of two hands.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it was large. I mean, there was a $10 or so swing due to the regular run of play and a couple of dollars here or there on a hand. But then there was this sort of, you know, $25 swing thing going on with those big
hands. With the big hands, yeah.
And,
this is what scares me, because you can play well for an hour and a half, gradually build up a nice stack, and then just get overexcited, or just get in against somebody crazy, or just hit a very bad beat, and all your hard work can go down the drain. Now, as it happened in that case, you turned it around in a beautiful hand a little bit later on, where you hit a very nice flush.
Although, you know, if if I hadn't got that flush, and obviously I needed to hit some cards to get to make that flush, then then I wouldn't have turned it around. You know, on the other hand, poker is this long game, and in the long run, you know, those bigger hands come along, you know, more and more, and so as long as you're playing, you know, as long as you're playing your game properly, then you're gonna those big swings back and forth are still going to play to your advantage. So,
okay, now we're just going to have a quick final look at the situation with the Mac Poker Pro. Just looking at
what does it say at the end of
your state? Well, on this
at
table,
the end of this game, what's it decided?
It's calling you a gator.
Okay,
and it's basically you played 46 hands. Well, we picked up 46 hands here. You voluntarily put the money in the pot 23% of the time, so just enough to be regarded as a tight player, and you put in a pre-flop raise about 8% of the time.
Yeah.
So that is why you're being characterised the way that you are. But there's some other really nice stuff on here where you can, I mean, you've just got one session on here, and if we go to Bugatti 57C, it will load up your data, and not only will it tell you, you know, what sort of hands you've been playing on and that sort of thing, but it will also show you the individual hands that you've had and the ones that you've won on, the ones that you haven't won on. And we can see, looking back there, the glory days, King 7 suited.
That's been a good $38.75.
That was your net gain that hand. And
whereas I've won my net gain with King Queen is only $12.50.
That was a pretty nice hand as well. Yeah, at the other end of it, there is.
The other end of it, Ace Nine is the hand I should never be playing because I lost
Ace Nine suited $26. So that was those were the, and in fact that was a hand that pushed out of by the big bully.
Absolutely, yes, with his. With his slightly worse A7, but this is interesting. Those kind of statistics on, you know, that's I think more useful, really, from a kind of a jogging your memory point of view. Because inevitably, you know, anybody's list of hands is going to have stuff in there that
weird stuff happens.
It's going to have You can't look at that list. You can't look at that list and sort of see, oh, you know, Queen. I've lost a bit of money with that. Shouldn't be playing Queen.
But we're saving the obvious. The interesting thing about this, Sog, is that at this stage, it's not very interesting. If you picked up this software and you were playing a cash game maybe three times a week, something like that, once you play 10,000 hands, those anomalies would iron out, and actually it might be worth looking through and saying, are the hands that I think are good, are they actually the ones that are good? And am I winning? How often have I actually lost with a pair of queens? Because if after 10,000 hands you find that you've lost with a pair of queens 75% of the time, then maybe you ought to be thinking about A, how you play those pair of queens, and B, whether you should be playing them at all.
I think that's a very good point. And another thing that is obviously very useful. A very useful feature of the software is just the ability to be able to, you know, get a quick snapshot of other players' styles of play, and then, you know, so, you know, when you're in the middle of the game and you're trying to make your assessments of whether you should be calling that bet or not, you know, you can have a look at how they're playing.
Yeah,
you know, is this a loose player? Is this a tight player? Is
that, and if they've you've got enough difference. Data on them, you know, that does make a big difference.
Does this? Do you know if the program will remember other players' data from previous sessions,
it
does a complete.
It puts it all in a database,
fantastic.
Compacts it on your machine. Fantastic. It doesn't. I mean, I think that I'm not absolutely sure, but I think that the other software may go and grab people's hand histories from the whole of the site. This one will only grab hand histories and players for games that you've actually been involved with, because those are the only hand histories that Poker Room allows you to see.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I mean, there must be some access thing there in that, you know, they're you need just, your login to get hand histories that you've been involved
in. They're basically just taking the information that you could be taking if you were copying and pasting it and dealing with it in that way. It's Mac Poker Pro. We'll put a link up to their website.
We certainly will. And I think
on the blog and on the site. am certainly going to be buying a copy, and
you will have seen some screen grabs already if you're looking at the Enhanced podcast, because we've done some screen grabs, and we'll be throwing that in the authoring.
And we hope you've enjoyed our slightly different flavour of podcast this week. We've had a bit more fun doing it this way. The pressure of the tournament is off,
and we made a bit of profit,
which is fantastic,
very important.
And you're not a monkey.
No, I'm a gator. So far, haven't quite reached bull near nirvana or eagle nirvana yet. But who knows? Another couple of sessions, we'll see. Anyway, next week, who knows? Perhaps it'll be back to a tournament, maybe some more cash play. I think probably a tournament again next week, but...
Omaha, something, we'll be coming up with something different, we'll be freshening it up, yeah. And we'll be looking forward to playing poker with you again on the Poker Diagram Live Poker Podcast.
Join us next week.
Thanks very much.
Cheerio.